I attended a business meeting this week with a group of business associates in another town, and trying not to give too much of the details away here. And in this group, I guess it was more of like kind of a networking group. You had some people in ministry, some in insurance and healthcare business, some in other various sectors that kind of networked together, shared their gifts with one another, tried to learn from each other, and empower each other in their business and in their success in serving the community. As a visitor, I was given 45 seconds to introduce myself and say a little bit about myself, and I guess perhaps sell them and maybe my church or my faith or just me in general to this larger group. And as I was pondering what to say, I noticed one lady that stood up before me. She took good command of her 45 seconds. She spoke as fast as she could. She wanted to get everything she is. She talked real fast like this. She said it all. She wanted to get it all covered and say as much as she could in 45 seconds. And I don't remember a single thing she said, but she said a lot. Well, I took a different strategy. Whether it was right or wrong, I don't know. They still may not remember what I said either. But rather, in that short amount of time, focusing on quantity, I made an attempt at least to focus on quality. Not get so wrapped up in what all I was going to say, but in prayerful consideration that all I did say would have merit and would be of substance. I preface this sermon today, or share this intro of it, by using that illustration to say to us, we have a major undertaking in our scriptural reflection today. We have the Ten Commandments, and we only have 10 minutes to talk about them. Now, how in the world are we going to do that? It's that struggle of quality versus quantity. There's no way we can adequately cover these commandments. Maybe y'all give me 15 minutes today. Will you give me 15 minutes? In the short amount of time that we have. But I think there are some essential reminders for us that we as people of faith are as familiar with these commandments or as we are any part of Scripture. They go back to the far reaches of our church, even before there was a Christian church. They were the guide, the model of how to practice faith in the God of Israel, and now even the God we worship on Holy Communion, World Communion Sunday. You know, it helps if we pause and remember the structure of these commandments and what they communicate to us, for us, but also what they communicate to us. If we look at these commandments, we become quickly aware that the last five commandments, they deal with the interaction of human relationships, how we treat one another. It's a call, I guess, in other words, to simplify it this way. It's a call for us as people of faith to love one another. And we're given instruction by God of what it means to live in loving relationships with each other. We hear these commandments where it says, do not kill. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't make up stuff. And don't covet what the other has. No, those don't need a lot of interpretation. They speak for themselves. They speak to various parts of our lives and our understanding that how we live in right relationships with one another is that we treat our brother and sister with these calls to faith. They're essential. They're the roots of our faith in relationships with one another at the beginning of the church, and yes, even all the way through the ending of the church. Love one another. And here's how we love. Now, that fifth commandment, before we get into these last five, that fifth commandment also deals in human relationships, but mamas and daddies, you'll be proud to know this. It's a call to how we live in relationship with our parents. or the family network. Maybe it's also a symbolism of the important call to the intimate family relationship, where we hear the commission, the charge to honor our father and mother. But it's also a reminder for us parents to cherish and love our children too. And even grandparents, do y'all need a reminder to love those grandkids, Betty Holland? No way, right? We don't need any encouragement to love them. As it's been said, if grandkids were given first, there wouldn't ever been any kids, would it? We'd have stopped there. It was perfected. It's a call to honor and love that family relationship. To cherish our parents, our grandparents, to give them the respect they've earned, they deserve, and in response to what they've done for us. It's a holy relationship. So holy that God calls us to honor and respect and cherish the forebearers in our faith and the forebearers in our family. And you know what I found? I don't know about you all, but what I found is the more I strive to respect and honor my parents, the more I try to honor and respect my in-laws, my wife's parents, and my grandparents, you know what I find? The more they respect me, the more they make it easier for me to respect them. Kind of can't outgive those parents in love. And really, as a parent, that's all we want. We want our children to love us. Isn't that what God wants? As the holy parent, as the heavenly parent, to receive our love. And that's our call as people of faith, as parents, as children, to live in love with each other. Those are the calls to action, to live in loving relationship that we find in these commandments this morning. The last, I've got to get my math right. It's hard to add and talk at the same time, but it sounds like the last 6 commandments focus on those human relationships. Did I do it right? Did I add that up right? Commandments 6 through 10. Deal with those relationships, loving relationships with our brothers and sisters and family around us. So what with the first 4? Well, the last of that group, it's a reminder to us. Commandment 4, remember the Sabbath. The holy day, the day of worship. Remember it as if to say, don't forget, this is the day the Lord has made. When we're busy, when we stay up late watching football, when we travel, when we have so many busy things that we need to get caught up with on Sunday, I feel your pain, I've been there. Remember in the busyness of your life that this is the day the Lord is made to be holy, to be set apart, to be a day of worship to the Lord. But guess what else? A day as a gift to you of rest and restoration. Friends, that's how good your God is. And how loving our Lord is, that we were gifted as His creation for a day for us to just do nothing and be restored. Yes, it's about God and worship. But God gives it as a gift to us as well. A holy day. Remember and keep it, as Scripture says, holy. So that's the first 4. Excuse me. The last 6. The last 7, I guess, commandments for us to consider. So let's begin now as we work backwards with the first 3. The introduction to the commandments seem to, in some way, speak to the rest of the commandments, where God says here, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In other words, it seems that God is saying to us, I am God, and you're not. I am God, and no one else is God. I am God who gave you life, and I am God who delivered you from your peril. That's an all-encompassing God, isn't it? The one who gave it to us, and the one who saved us from our peril. You see, I think that's the basis for what God sets forth in these commandments that follow. When he says these words that can sometimes be confusing to us, do you ever get hung up on this? What does it mean when God says, you shall not make for yourself an idol? It's not, we don't go around building stuff to worship so much in this 21st century world. But if we think of idols, an idol is oftentimes what we put our hope in, what we put our trust in. Maybe it's what we worship, but it's what we look at as the thing to give us hope, to give us joy. It's what we put our trust in, our idols. Sometimes it can be money, fame, popularity, success in business, success in the church, the best potato pie cooker. We can make an idol out of anything if we're trusting that to be the thing for our deliverance. And there's a call at the very beginning of our faith by our God to say, make nothing an idol, for I'm your God. In other words, it seems that the beginning is clarifying the ending, where God says, I'm the one who made you, and I'm the one who did what? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, he says to the Israelites. Well, let's consider our Egypt. We all have our deserts to cross, don't we? We all have our crosses to bear. We all have our perils, our troubles, whether they be business struggles, our family struggles, or whatever things that we face, what I call the junk of life. And it's tempting for us to forget who our deliverer is. And God reminds the people of Israel here in the commandments, very first thing, I'm the one who made you, and I'm the one who delivered you. Friends, that's why we don't make idols out of the world. They can't deliver us. We can't put our hope in stuff. Our hope is in the one who made us and saved us. He's the giver and the restorer of life and all we need. So that's the call that begins to remember who I am and make nothing else in my place. He continues, our Lord does, by saying, don't make wrongful use of my name. Now, oftentimes we think of that, don't say ugly words, right? Don't say ugly words with God in it, and I do think it is a call to that. But I think there's something also meatier and a reminder to not abuse the name of the Lord on our behalf. Say we're going to do something in God's name when it's really seeking to serve us. Or do something in God's name and really represent our Lord, our faith, in a way that tarnishes the one we're called to worship and serve. Don't abuse the name of the Holy One, the Creator, the Father of all creation. Honor, cherish the one who made us and delivered us. And protect that name in front of all the earth. Well, friends, that's the Ten Commandments of our faith. But you know, at the end of the day, when I first considered the Ten Commandments as a young person, I thought, well, that's the part of the church that I don't like to think of so much. That's the Old Testament. I like to think of the New Testament more. The loving stuff. I don't want to hear about what I shouldn't do and what I can't do. I want to celebrate what I can do in faith. But you know, a closer examination of these commandments, don't they serve as a reminder to us that they too are not so much about what we can't do as people of faith, but what we can do, and that's live in loving relationships? These aren't so much for me a list of do's and don'ts, as they are a reminder that they serve for us as a gift of love and grace, of instruction for our God, for our holiest and best life in, yes, human relationships. Remember, we began with that? This is how we live in relationship with each other. God calls us to the beginning to love each other. God calls us to move forward in loving family. And God calls us, most importantly, from the beginning to love Him. These are the Ten Commandments. Do you notice a connection to the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us to? Remember that greatest commandment in Matthew 22? Where Jesus is asked that question. What are we supposed to do, Jesus? When we get down to it, when we simplify our faith, really, what's most important? And Jesus says this, love the Lord, your God. Isn't that how the commandment begins? Love the Lord, your God, and then love who? Love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that how the commandments end? And finally, oh, don't forget this, church. Don't fail to do this, people of faith. Yes, love the Lord. Yes, love your neighbor, but love them as you love yourself. That's your God. That's the call of faith. To live in love with the world and the Lord and love yourself as His perfect creation. Live out these commandments, people of faith, and in doing so, live your best life. Amen. As we seek now to respond in faith, I ask you to join with me.